Psalm 91:1. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Psalm 91:1. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Psalm 91:1. Proverbs 2:10-11. When wisdom enters into your heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto your soul, discretion shall preserve you, understanding shall keep you. Proverbs 2:10-11. When wisdom enters into your heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto your soul, discretion shall preserve you, understanding shall keep you. Proverbs 2:10-11. Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Philippians 1:6. Would you open your Bibles this morning, please, to Revelation chapter 1, verse 7. Revelation chapter 1, verse 7. We're dealing with the subject of the second advent. Revelation chapter 1, verse 7. May we pray together, please. Father, we are blessed individuals indeed, and we thank you so very much for the opportunity which is ours now to come again to open our hearts and our minds to these magnificent truths. We're thankful that we realize how fantastic it is that we are engaged to our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is an engagement time. While we're here, we're waiting for that time when the groom, the Lord Jesus Christ, will receive his bride, his body, unto himself. Thank you for the privilege of studying. Help us to be desirous and hungry for these things that are eternal. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. On the screen now you see Revelation 1:7. I want to point out some things to you very quickly. This passage of Scripture says, "Behold, he comes with the clouds." Please notice, if you will, that the word "he comes" here is the Greek word erchomai. It's not important that you know that word, but it is important for you to know how that word is used. It says, "He comes," and the emphasis here is on the middle voice. The subject participates in the action and is benefited thereby. When he comes, he's going to be benefited. We're going to be benefited. That's what beautifully presented to us in this wonderful Greek word. That's all I'm going to say there. Behold, he comes with the clouds. And then it says, "And every eye will see him." And I want you to see again that this particular verb is a future tense. That's why it's F there. The middle voice says the subject participates in the action and is benefited thereby. The indicative mood in both of these verbs is a mood of reality. This, it says, he's coming. It's real that he's going to do it. Down here it says, every eye will see him. That means every one of us. And the word that is used here is the word horao, H-O-R-A-O, which is the word from which we get horizon. When you think about horizon, it means something that is seen from one side all the way over to the other side. How beautiful that word is. Behold, he comes with the clouds, and every eye will see him, those who pierced him, and will wail all the nations of the land over him. Yes, amen. Now, what I want to do this morning very quickly is to point out that there's a difference between the first advent, and there's a difference between the rapture on the one hand and the second advent on the other hand. Second advent, the word indicates that there are two advents. The first was at the birth of the only begotten Son of God, and the objective of the first advent was to provide salvation for mankind. What I needed to let you know, that when you look at the first advent, we see that Jesus Christ comes to the earth as the God-man. And the objective of that first advent was to provide salvation for mankind. The second advent will display the royalty and the glory of our Lord, and at that time he will fulfill all the covenants to Israel. I want to go slowly here for just a few seconds and let you see there's a difference between the first advent. We're not talking about the rapture now. We're talking about the first advent, Jesus coming in the flesh, first advent of the birth of the only begotten Son of God. And the objective of that first advent was to provide salvation for mankind. The second advent will display the royalty and the glory of our wonderful Lord. And at that time, he will fulfill all the covenants to Israel. What I haven't done in recent days is to emphasize the covenants, and I need to. Maybe we need to get over into that information as we move along here. Okay, notice please, the rapture is not the second advent. The rapture is not, that is a simple conclusion, but it needs to be understood. The rapture is not the second advent. At the rapture of the church, Christ does not actually touch the earth. We, the church age believers, will meet him in the air. Now, pause for a moment to let you think with me about that. The rapture is not the second advent. At the rapture of the church, Christ does not actually touch the earth. We, as the church age believers, will meet him in the air. That simply means that if Jesus Christ should come today, we will leave this life and we'll meet him in the air. We, the church age believers, will meet him in the air. Whereas the second advent is the return of our Lord to the earth. And notice how I'm saying this. The second advent is the return of our Lord to the earth in his hypostatic union. It's important for me to remind you time and time again that Jesus Christ died on the cross, was buried, came forth out of the grave, and he came out of the grave in a resurrection body. You have to understand that Jesus Christ is sitting, the Bible says, at God's right hand to make intercession for us. There's where we get the doctrine of propitiation, satisfaction. God is pleased with what Jesus Christ was willing to do. And he went through all of this time coming to the earth as the God-man, sinless, pure, impeccable, going to the cross, dying on the cross for the sins of the world, being buried, coming forth out of the grave, ascending to sit at the Father's right hand. So he is in hypostatic union. The rapture is designated as private. Acts 1:11. It is for the church only, for believers only. Whereas the second advent is public. Revelation 1:7, our scripture for today, every eye shall see him. Not every eye will see him at the rapture. Did you see what's being said here? The rapture occurs in the air. And that's described for us by the Apostle Paul and the Spirit of God in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17. The second advent occurs on the earth. And the church goes up to heaven at the rapture, John 14:3. Whereas at the second advent, the church returns with Christ. 1 Thessalonians 3:13. I'm glad that you're listening because you need to not only hear this with your ears, but you need to hear it with your heart so that you'll be able to comprehend the magnificence of this information. So let's look at it just again. The rapture occurs in the air, 1 Thessalonians 4:17. The second advent occurs on the earth. The church goes up to heaven at the rapture, John 14:3, whereas at the second advent, the church returns with Christ, 1 Thessalonians 3:13. I'm doing this rapidly because I wanted you to be able to see just an overview. Additionally, the rapture includes the judgment seat, the judgment of the believer's works, the judgment seat of Christ, which we've already talked about in 2 Corinthians 5:10, whereas the second advent includes many judgments, and that's presented in Matthew chapter 25. Most of you have heard this so many times. When you look at the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, when you look at the harmony of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you're seeing Age of Israel information. I've said that time and time again. You have to see that and understand it, or it'll be very confusing when you read scriptures like two grinding at the mill, one taking the other left. Two on the housetop, one taking the other left. That's Age of Israel information, not church age information. At the rapture, the restraining ministry of God the Holy Spirit is removed, as revealed in 2 Thessalonians 2:6. Whereas at the second advent, Satan is removed. Now that's powerful for you to see. At the rapture, the restraining ministry of God the Holy Spirit is removed, 2 Thessalonians 2:6. At the second advent, Satan is removed. And the rapture causes a change in the believer's body. Philippians 3:21. Whereas the second advent causes a change in the earth. Romans 8:19 to 27. I wish that you could just take time to read these verses in Romans 8:19 to 27. It emphasizes the fact that of change, the change in the bodies, the change in the earth, all of these changes. It's amazing when you look at Romans 8:19 to 27. At the rapture of the church, Christ appears as the groom, while at the second advent, Christ appears as the Messiah to Israel and as royalty to the whole earth, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. You know what I'm doing? I'm doing this so rapidly that you're not able to take time to think it through, but it's so uniquely powerful. At the rapture of the church, Christ appears as the groom, while at the second advent, Christ appears as the Messiah to Israel and as royalty to the whole earth, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. The rapture signals the end of the church age. The second advent signals the end of the Jewish age. You want to abbreviate that? The rapture signals the end of the church age. The second advent signals the end of the Jewish age. Two, at the time of the rapture, Israel is dispersed. While at the second advent, Israel will be restored and regathered. It takes a while to get that through your thinking, but it is so fantastic when you see it. The rapture signals the end of the church age. The second advent signals the end of the Jewish age. At the time of the rapture, Israel is dispersed. At the second advent, Israel will be restored and regathered. At the rapture, believers are taken from the earth. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 through 18. Whereas at the second advent, unbelievers are taken from the earth. Matthew 24:37-43. The rapture is a source of comfort to the believer. 1 Thessalonians 4:18. The second advent is a source of terror to the unbeliever. I've told you this, but many years ago, I was preaching, and I looked up and saw a young man sitting at the back, and I could see that he was extremely disturbed. When the service was over, I made my way back there slowly and carefully, and I could sense very quickly that he was disturbed about the fact, and he told me, he said, if the Lord comes, I'm not ready. And so we sat down and talked about that. Here's what he was hearing. At the rapture, the rapture is a source of comfort, while the second advent is a source of terror. And he was unsaved and he was in terror in relationship to the importance of him being right with God. And I showed him in this passage of scripture that it says, wherefore comfort ye one another with these words. Those are comforting words to the believer. They're not comforting words to the unbeliever. And after we talked and after he made that decision, then those scriptures were comforting to him. All this information was comforting to him. And that's the reason why the rapture is a source of comfort to the believer, but a source of terror to the unbeliever. According to Zechariah 14, 1 through 4, the location of the second advent is Jerusalem. It is the second advent that Christ is totally victorious over Satan. In Scripture, the phraseology is, he will be as your footstool. In Psalm 110:1, Hebrews 11:13, Hebrews 10:13. Also, at this time, our Lord's bride will be cleansed from all except agathos, except divine good. In other words, kalos and phalos, all the things that are not the best, are going to be taken away. At this time, our Lord's bride will be cleansed from all except divine good, agathos. 1 Corinthians 3, 12 through 15. Satan will be imprisoned, the Bible says, in Revelation 20, 1 to 3. The triumphal procession of Christ will occur, Colossians 2, 15. And believers will cast demons into the lake of fire. This is interesting. You might want to look this up. Zechariah 13, 2, Colossians 2, 15, 1 Corinthians 15, 24 to 25. What do you think some of the responsibilities we're going to have? It's explained to us in these verses. At the second advent will be the time of the baptism of fire. The baptism of fire is the down payment on the lake of fire during the tribulation. We've said that many times. I printed it again, but I didn't bring it. The second advent is the baptism of fire, when the baptism of fire occurs. 1 Thessalonians 1, 7, 9, Matthew 3. And this baptism of fire vindicates the perfect character of God. That takes me to the last point. You'll notice that out of all the preparation, I went back just last night and I redid this so that I could be sure that we would be able to be out on time today. Isn't that interesting how I do things? And I put it in such a fashion, and I put down here, Second Advent Study. That's the way I have it filed. And so I think I sent it over to Mike and Edie for the bulletin, for the internet. But anyway, I want you to see, the Second Advent ushers in the millennium, during which there will be perfect environment and free will. We're going to study this some more as time moves on. The desire of my heart is to say to all of you whom I love dearly, Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. May we pray together, please. Father, thank you for this day, for the opportunity which has been ours to open our hearts and minds to these magnificent truths. Help us as we make our way to visit with our loved ones and friends, that this be a time when we remember exactly what this is all about. And we appreciate the Lord Jesus Christ, his willingness to come as a little tiny baby, but more than that, for him to live that period of time, go to the cross and die for our sins. Not only that, but we appreciate the fact that he was buried and came forth out of that grave, victorious over death, sin, and hell in the grave, and is sitting at the Father's right hand now to save those who will believe and to be a blessing to all of us. Thank you for your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.